So we are learning a very interesting topic this week, which really touched upon many, many different sugyas. So what the Gemara was telling us in Beit Adaf Yud Ches about the question of dipping kelim in the mikvah on Yantif. That was the question. And the Gemara provides different reasons why it would be aser. And one of the reasons the Gemara said was because if I allow for putting kelim in the mikvah on Yantif, Shema Yilenu B'yodo, V'yavirenu Arba Amos Brishas Rabim. Perhaps I'm going to carry it outside an Erev and carry it for Dalat Amos and Rishas Rabim, and that, of course, will be a violation of a Hotzah. So the whole basis of not Tovel Kalim is because of a Gzera. But Tfilas Kalim itself isn't a problem. It's just a Gzera lest I carry it beyond that. So the Gemara had brought a number of different cases where it was permitted because the Gzera wasn't relevant. So the case that we were discussing this week is if a woman, Anida, has no Begadim that are Tahar. So she needs to get Tahor clothing. So her whole wardrobe is all Tameh. So needs to somehow get into the mikvah because she's going to eat, I don't know, Taro, she's going to eat Kudshim, she's going to eat Truma, something that she needs to be Tahor for. Then she's in Nida as well. So the answer is, the Gemara says, she as a Nida could go into the mikvah wearing the clothing. The Gemara says that Maremes v'tovelas b'vagdeha. She should go in to the mikvah wearing the clothing. Isn't the Gemara concerned that if I allow her to wear clothing and the mikvah together as one, maybe she'll just take the clothing separately? Kalim and Begadim are really one and the same. Maybe she'll take the actual clay Kalim separately and put them directly in the mikvah, and that would be a violation of this din in the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, since she's only allowed to go in the mikvah with the clothing on, which is a strange thing to do, so therefore she'll realize only when she wears the clothing can you get the clothing in the mikvah. But if she's not wearing the clothing, she cannot put the begadim in separately in the mikvah. That would not be allowed. So that's the Gemara.
But we don't have to worry about her making that mistake.
Correct. So now this presents a number of different issues. This din of going to the mikvah with clothing on Yantif. So what are the issues? So the two basic issues are one, a chatzitza, which we'll discuss, is an issue of a chatzitza, going into the mikvah with clothing on or any other type of separation. And the second issue is what Tosis brings up, is an issue of violation of Shabbos Yantiv, Melachas Shabbos, Melachas Yantiv, which is an issue of kibbutz, of libun, of laundering. There's a din, I can't launder on Shabbos. If I have a stain, I can't scratch something out on Yantiv, on Shabbos. That's a violation of libun. So the Gemara says, not only is scratching out something dirty, but putting water in, as Tosis points out here, based on the Gemara, that shriyasa zuhi kibus. Shriyasa means to be shora, to soak something in water. Putting something in water, clothing into water, that is a violation of kibus, water alone. And we'll explain when that's allowed, when it's not allowed. But that's one problem. Putting clothing in water is a violation of libun, which is, again, laundering or whitening something. And the other question is chatzitza. How do you go into the mikvah with there being a chatzitza?
Can I ask one question?
Hmm?
So this is a tumah that is not a metaken kli, right? A metaken kli is only a tumah, other tumah, right?
No, not necessarily.
It's also a problem of metaken kli?
Well, the Gemara later on is going to give a separate reason. Rava is going to say metaken kli is a different reason why you can't be tovel kelim. But we haven't gotten there yet. That's a new explanation.
So why don't we say that dipping the clothes also, going to the mikveh is metaken the clothes, and that's an issue.
Right, so we have to, when we do Rava's pshat, we have to explain why Ravashi or the others don't hold it that way. But we're not there yet. Okay, so let's go through now this issue of chatzitza. Now, I'll address the, I'll tell you the question I had once, recently actually, this past summer. And then we'll think of this question in mind as we go through this first issue of a chatzitza. Someone went, oftentimes, not often, but I get questions after the fact. I decided to go to Hawaii. I'm in Hawaii right now. What do I do about Shabbos? Now, the question really should be asked, should I go to Hawaii or not? Because Shabbos is a question. What's the question of Hawaii? Because you don't know whether Hawaii's weeks go based on California to Sunday, Monday, or Shabbos, or does it go based on Eastern Asia and China, where everything's off a day. Now, it's the issue of a dateline. Where do you cross the dateline? At what point does it turn over to the previous day? Now, if you don't know what dateline means or how it works, I can't explain it to you. Really, it's just confusing. But Hawaii is unclear whether Hawaii goes based in California or goes based in East Asia to know when Shabbos really is. So the person calls me up and says, what am I supposed to do? I'm here and it's like Shabbos tomorrow, or maybe it's not Shabbos tomorrow. What do I do? So really a person shouldn't ideally not go to Hawaii because we have no real Masorah of when Shabbos is. So Chabad there happens to have a place, and Chabad has decided when Shabbos is, and those who have Chabad Masorah could follow what Chabad said. But what other posts can say by Hawaii, so we don't really know. So you either have to keep 2 days of full Shabbos, or you have to, others have the suggestion of a Shabbos Deraisa, which is a confusing thing, which means one Shabbos is a real Shabbos, the other Shabbos is only Shabbos Deraisas. But all Melachas Derabanans are allowed. So you have to start figuring out what's Deraisas, turning on lights, Deraisa, Derabanan, your kids are going to be extremely confused. So that's an example of getting a question after the fact, what do I do? So what was the question I had this summer? So a person went to some, some country. I won't say where, because maybe you know where this person was. Went to a country, and it happens to be the timing didn't work out with the wife going to the mikvah. And it turns out she had to go to the mikvah while they were in this strange country. Now, there was a mikvah, but the mikvah was like 3 hours from where they were staying. So they're staying someplace very far from any Jewish community. But there was a beach nearby. So the question is, can she go to the beach? Now, going to the beach, of course, has a couple of problems. One is nighttime, daytime. Nighttime is very dangerous to go to a beach in the ocean. I would not advise it. I don't know if certain places maybe you could get arrested for it. I don't know. So nighttime was an issue. And number two is, how do you go into the mikvah with clothing on? It's an issue of a chatzitza. The guy happened to tell me that wasn't an issue at the beach that they were near. It wasn't so much an issue of clothing. So then I said, you probably shouldn't go there anyways. But okay, and even if clothing was an issue, you still shouldn't go there. So they only asked me after they already went to this country. So these are examples of where questions come afterwards. He should have really asked me in the first place, should I be going here? And the answer should be no. There are wonderful places in Eretz Yisrael you could go to, or other places where the Jewish community is, but that's not for now the Musar. So let's talk about, before even getting to the question of Chatzitza, which is our focus, let's talk about the timing. So nighttime is out of the question, because nighttime is it's dangerous to go into the ocean or sea, wherever they were near, at night. So what's the problem of nighttime versus daytime tefillah? So the din is, when it comes to going to the mikvah, so a woman normally goes after 7 days, Shiva Nikim. And that night she goes to the mikvah. So in theory, she could go the day of the seventh day, before nightfall. But the problem is, now let's say she goes to the mikvah, let's assume day one is, let's say Sunday was the first day of Shiva Nikim. So Shabbos is day seven. So she's supposed to go Motzei Shabbos. Let's say she goes Shabbos day to the mikvah. So now everything's fine, but let's say after she goes to the mikvah, it's still daytime, let's say she were to be with the husband, and then the daytime she sees Dom after that. So it's still during Shiva Nikim, before Motzei Shabbos, she goes Shabbos day. So she goes to the mikvah, she goes home with her husband, and then she sees a Dom before Shabbos ends, and the daytime, that actually retroactively ruins all Shiva Nikim, and those are wiped away, and the mikvah never, the tefillah never worked, and she violated Issur Karis to be with her husband.
So that's
the next seven, day eight, if that's what you're referring to. But that's why in day seven it's not allowed. So now, let's say it's day eight. So let's say you have seven full days, Shiva Nikim, and she can't go to the mikvah Motzei Shabbos, whatever the reason is, she can't go. So now you're supposed to go the next night, Sunday night, which is eight, the ninth night of the eighth. That's allowed. You could push off a day if you ask a shayla. So let's say during the eighth day, let's say she can't go the nighttime. It's the only mikvah is the ocean. So then the heter is, don't go day seven, go and head day eight. Now why can you go day eight normally? Because even though the Shiva Nikim are over, and to go to the mikvah afterwards you could go, and even be with your husband, that's all permitted. And if she sees Dom after day eight, it doesn't ruin anything retroactively, it only ruins things moving forward. So that's allowed. But the concern was, which I think maybe what you're referring to, it's called Srach Bito, Rama says. If let's say the daughter is aware that her mother went to the mikvah during the daytime, it was day eight, she might think, oh, when I get married, I can also go during the daytime, and she'll go day seven. And day seven is a problem. Day eight isn't really a problem. So that's called Srach Bito. So we never allow you to go daytime at all. But in extreme situations, so then we even allow for the daytime on day eight. But the one caveat is that she cannot see her husband until nightfall. So she should hide somewhere, go not see her husband until nightfall, because we don't want them to be with each other during the daytime, because it might lead to something on the day seven as well. It's all gzeirah that were put into place. Everyone with me on this? Fine. Now, there are even more extreme cases. I remember Hurricane Sandy was a big case going around where people had, somebody had to go out of town, and then there was no mikvah available, and it was Pesach Seder was the night afterwards, and it was impossible to get away. So in extreme, extreme circumstances, we allow even a day seven tzvila, but mamish, you cannot see the husband until nightfall. So these are different levels. So given that this was a very bidyevit situation, there were no mikvahs available, and nighttime in the ocean wasn't an option, so the heter is, for this couple, was during day eight, push it off a night and go day eight to the mikvah, to the ocean, and then not see each other until nightfall. That was the eitzah for the timing of things. But what do you get? What about the chatzitza issue? So, you know, in theory, you could have gone to the ocean and taken off the clothing there. I've heard a mice of a guy, a friend of mine, who decided to go to the mikvah in Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, Atlantic Ocean, and you know, he went to the ocean, took off his bathing suit, and then he lost his bathing suit. So that could be embarrassing and problematic. So that's a possibility. Or you could go with what we have here in the Gemara here, that there are options where a person can go to the mikveh with clothing. So let's go through the Rishonim and Poskim, how lichachil or bidyevit this might be, and whether or not a person can rely on this heter of going in the bathing suit. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mikvos, when he records halacha, he says, kol atovel tzarech shitbol kol gufo. When a person goes to the mikveh, he must put the entire body in the mikveh. Kishu arum bebas achas, all in one shot. Im hayabal seyar, if he has long hair, or the woman has long hair. Yatbil kol seyar, all the hair must go below the water as well. Rosho v'harehu kegufo din tor. The hair is like the body itself. And v'chol atimeim shetavlu bevigdeim, all those who are tameh, who went to the mikveh while wearing clothing, also lo tefila works. The water passes right through the clothing and doesn't serve as a chatzitza. But the language of the Rambam is that they went to the mikvah. Bidyeved will accept it, but he doesn't say that lichatchila a person should rely on this. Bidyeved, it works. The Rambam then writes in Hilchos Yamtif, he says, Nida she'ein la bigadim lahachlif, if a woman has no Nida, who has no begotten to wear, Maremes v'tovelas b'vagadeha, the din is she's allowed to go lichatchila to the mikvah with clothing. So while the Rambam writes in Hilchas Mikvos it's only b'dievid with clothing, the Rambam Hilchas Yantif says even lichatchila should go to the mikvah with clothing. So what's the difference between these two cases? Why is Rambam writing Mikvos b'dievid it's only allowed in lichatchila in Hilchas Yantif? Anyone pick up on this language?
Why is that considered lechatchila if it's only because she lacks any other clothing? If she had another pair of clothing, then she wouldn't be able to. So
correct.
It's not exactly lechatchila.
Right. So given that case, it's the difference is b'dieved and Hilchas Mikvah says she already went. She read the meiser, and there the tefillah didn't happen. We're encouraging her to do the tefillah. But I think you're right. That's a simple answer. And simply because she doesn't have any other clothing, that becomes a b'dieved situation whereby we say lechatchila, you have no other choice. So that's the simple answer. Very good. Now, the Rush, when he presents this, the Rush says, it sounds like even lechachila, he says in number three, Nida yechola litvol bivagadeha. A woman lechachila is allowed to go with her clothing, lefisha mayim nichnosen tachas begadim, because the water goes right through. And he's not even talking about a case where she lacks clothing at her tower. He's talking about any woman who's a Nida, is lechachila allowed to go into the mikvah, with clothing on. And the Dibre Chamudas points out as well that it sounds very much that this is all lechachila, that she could wear clothing. Why? Because there are two reasons why. Why is she allowed to go? Why is it not a chatzitza? So let's understand chatzitzas in general. In general, I spoke to you, a few of you, about this during Morning Seder this week, that a definition of chatzitza mideraisa, what's the definition of chatzitza mideraisa?
Majority of the body.
And? Makbid has two requirements to make it deraisa. The one is it has to be majority of the body, and number two, it has to be a person who cares. It's makbid on this. So let's talk about the hand for a second. Let's say I'm doing the tis of dying on my hand. So I'm not looking at my body, my yad alone. So let's say I have paint all over my hand. I'm makbid. If I'm a painter, it's not so makbid. Painters have paint all over their skin all the time. That's just how they, because that's their business. But I'm not a painter. So I decide to paint my house. I've got paint covering most of my hand. I can't get it off. I can't scratch it off. So that's rove of my hand, and I'm makpid. I don't like it being there. So I fulfilled the hakpada. I fulfilled the rove, and therefore that would be a chatzitza to do nitzis adayim on that hand. That's deraisa. Let's say I have one, not the other. The Chacham said one without the other would also be a chatzitza midrabanan. So let's say I'm a painter. So if I'm a painter, I'm not really makpid about the paint. I work with it all the time. Not a big deal. So if rove of my hand is full of paint, even though I'm not makbid, that's a chatzitza midrabanan. Or let's say I'm very makbid, I'm not a painter, but I've got a little paint on my hand. It's miyut, but I'm makbid on it. That would also be chatzitza midrabanan. That's one without the other. And then the situation is, if it's miyut, and I don't care, it's miyut v'ena makbid, that's completely fine. So what's an example? So I've gotten this question a couple of times. A woman goes to the mikvah, and then, I remember one case was a Friday night. It was when I was living in my other house on the other side of the peninsula. So someone stopped by my house. The husband stopped by. The wife just came back. It was a Friday night from the mikvah. And she saw that she had a little nail polish left on her fingernail. Is that going to be a problem? So the question becomes, this is the question you have to ask. It's certainly not rove. So it's not rove. It's certainly not deraisa. The question is, what's the question you have to ask her? Is she makbid? So how do you know if she's makbid? So there are two ways, depending on who's asking the question. You could either ask, would you be comfortable, would you be embarrassed to go to a wedding? If, let's say, you found out you had a little bit of a nail polish, would you be embarrassed? Or some say, a little bit lenient, would you be comfortable walking down Central Avenue, with a little bit of a nail polish? It depends how fancy your wife dresses walking down Central Avenue. So is she makbid or not? So that's the question. So if it's about the wedding, it's a much more machmir. More women are more likely to be makbid on a little bit of nail polish in a wedding than they would walking down Central Avenue. But these are the types of questions you have to ask them to gauge whether they're makbid on this or not. So if the answer is that she, would be, it's hard to really ask the husband. This husband doesn't really know. The husband most likely, she doesn't care about it. So you can't really ask the husband. So, so she wasn't there. I've probably told him to ask his wife, and I don't know what happened after that. Obviously, fine. So that's the definition of hakpada. I mean, it's funny that you have to sometimes ask questions in halacha to try to gauge, what the root is. So I remember that Rabbi Noble told me once when it came to wearing tefillin for people who are ambidextrous. Or just my son, for example, he writes with his left hand, but he throws baseball with his right hand. He bats in his lefty. He does hockey with his right. Whatever. He's a confusing kid. So left and right hand. It helps him with playing piano, though. He's somewhat ambidextrous. So what did he do for wearing tefillin? So I spoke to him a few years ago about this, and he said that Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky said that he once asked the boy, "Well, how do you hit your brother? What hand do you use to hit your brother?" So that however you give your left or right draw, so jab. So that's the definition of your stronger hand. That's the opposite hand of which the tefillin should be going on. So different questions you ask people to gauge what the answer is. So here, so when it comes to chatzitza, so when it comes to clothing, so now clothing is on rove of the body. But is that going to be makbid or not? So the truth is, it's not really a hakpada at all, because what the post can point out is clothing are usually not that tight, that water is going to easily pass through. And even if it is tight, water goes directly through the clothing as well. So if I'm wearing, let's say, a tight undershirt, so even though it might be attached to my body, the water is going to pass directly through the shirt and touch my body. And that won't serve as a chatzitza, even if I am makbid on it in general. And therefore, they point out that's why all these cases, at least b'di'eved, wearing clothing would be fine. Now, if a guy or a girl were to have like some metal armor to go into the mikveh where water won't pass through, so then that, of course, would be a problem.
Or leather,
they point out, leather where the water doesn't pass through, that would also be a problem. If water can't get underneath it and it can't pass through it, so that would be a problem of wearing clothing. But outside of those examples, it would be permitted.
What's hakpada when you wear clothing? What are you makbid on?
Meaning, am I makbid to take off the clothing at certain times? I gave you the example of the ring, let's say. So, can a woman wash hands with Netiyas Adayim wearing a ring? So if it's loose, then that's certainly fine. The water's going to pass through. And if it's not loose, so then it depends on whether a person's makbid on this or not. So yes, the ring might be very tight, but it's okay, because it's only a miyut of my body. And it's not a makbid. So in terms of the way for women, at least, the way they gauge it for the women is, do you need dough without it? So my wife always takes off the rings to need dough, because it just gets dirty and sticky. if the woman were to need dough, or if a guy who wears a ring, I'm not sure what he would ask him. Do men need dough? If they need dough. If they were comfortable leaving the ring on while they need dough,
Do an oil change.
The oil change. Men do that?
No.
You certainly do it. So whatever it is, like, are you makbid to ever take it off in certain instances? That would be hakpada. If you don't mind.
Aren't we all makbid to get undressed when we shower?
Yeah, so that's what the question here is. It's not so much about hakpada by clothing. It's about the water is actually, it's not a chatzitza. It goes right through my clothing. My ring is tight. Water's not going through. It's blocking something. So then it depends on hakpada. But clothing, it's not a chatzitza even, because water goes right through or right underneath of it. An example.
Like this. Yeah. Is this like a ring? Or no?
No, because water goes right through. It's too loose. But so that's all, fine. Yeah, that's too loose. Yeah.
So on the same question, for example, we had a question whether a woman would be makpid on a little dot of nail polish. What if it's completely well done?
Right.
How do you measure quite on that? If she's definitely not makpid to have them nicely done,
right?
Then could she go in with
question? What do you mean, Seth?
She has a full manicure.
All of her nails.
Oh, right. So then
she wants it there.
Right.
The
no.
Time.
Right. Yeah. She wants it there. So this becomes a big issue of nail polish and these. What they call that, these artificial nails that stick on. They have like this nail polish that sticks on and stays like glued on, which stays for a long, long time. So there's some ladies who don't take it off, and there's certain, this becomes a big political issue amongst poskim. So some mikvahs will allow them to just go in. Okay, all right, at least they're going to the mikvah, right? Don't make a big deal about this. But the problem with all of this is, and it's a very good question, if you just look at the, I brought the Ramah here, number 9, the Ramah states very clearly, "Lechachila lo titpol afilu b'dvarim shein chotzim." You have to remove all chatzitzas, gezeira out to dvarim chotzim. Everything must be removed. All nail polish, all everything. We don't plan against. So, but there are certain mikvos that do allow for these types of nail polish and nails that go on, but it's very frowned upon. But some poskim say no, it's completely allowed.
Yeah, why would you use the language playing games? Because it seems like a legitimate.
No, because it gets very confusing though about what's allowed, what's not allowed. So in order to avoid all types of confusions, little things here and there, so then they said all chatzitzas must be removed, all and anything outside of the body, anything that's external to the body, whether it be nail polish or.
And I understand, but if a woman is is it worth it? No, it seems
depends.
Not, it's not the majority.
But
what of
the problem
like,
is
why?
once you make ill for a certain group, so then you become make ill for others as well. And then, how should you do that? Is that correct policy to make up for a small group whereby others who would normally remove all this stuff, you make up for them, then they make up for me, and then everyone will start wearing nail polish. So it's a question of policy. So it becomes a challenging point here and there, but we're very happy that more women are going to the mikveh. If they refuse, unless they, like there's certain mikvahs that women will come in, certain not religious women, but they're makbid and taras mishpacha, but they'll keep their necklace on or a bracelet on, very loose, like this, very loose. So the mikvah is not going to give her a hard time because they realize she's not religious and she's just doing taras mishpacha, a wonderful thing. So it requires a lot of common sense and sensitivity along these ways, but in terms of just the psak of this is all allowed, not allowed, it becomes challenging. Another question, Eitan?
No.
Okay.
Public and private answers is a...
Yeah.
Really, that Ramah is most... I mean, because let's say like when women go to the mikvah, so they're mamash like scrubbing like tiny little scabs off and things like that. According to the halacha, it would seem... I mean, a woman's not makbid on almost all these things. They don't even know about half of them.
Correct. I'll tell you, there's actually a case I was just dealing with yesterday. A certain, when women have OCD, so the hardest area, one of the hardest, two hard areas for women to deal with OCD is chafifa and preparing for the mikvah, and chametz and Pesach. Because these are both kares, and even a small crumb of chametz and a small chatzitza could be a problem. Now, it's not really, we just learned it's not really a problem. A small thing, if it's miyat ain't a makbid, it's not really a problem, it's just lechachila. So, women could take hours upon hours of doing chafifa and preparing themselves, and they could go to the mikveh and second guess themselves, did I do it right, did the mikveh lady really see me? And these are real issues that they have. So there's a Ramban at the end of Sefer Toras Adam. Toras Adam is a Sefer written by the Ramban. He talks about various topics. And at the very end, Rav Willig points out that if you look at the Ramban, I didn't look it up, I need to look it up, I just got it yesterday, that he says that All you have to do is just go to the mikvah, like shower, mikvah, and zel. There's no need to check anything. When a woman struggling with these issues of chafifa, or rather of OCD, of a mental illness, or just this anxiety, just go to the, take a shower, mikvah, zel. Don't do any type of inspection. I was speaking to a number of people about it the past couple of days, how to go about speaking to such women. But as we know, in terms of chatzitza, these are not really that big. They're not that big of an issue. It's just that lechatchila, the Ramah has translated it into people's OCD manifesting itself in very, very extreme ways. So it's important to know. Important to know the background. Okay.
What does the Ramah mean when he says that the clothing are tameyim? What does that mean?
If clothing became tameh, if it came into contact with tumas meis or any avos tumah. The way it works in tumah, and just the general background is, there's avos tumah and then there's the rishon tumah. So an avos tumah, such as, let's say, tumas mace, a mace itself, or sheretz, or nevela, or a nida, or a zav, or zava. An avos tumah has the ability to be metame four categories. It can be metame a person, adam, kalim, which is clothing and utensils, Michael and Mashke. It's a Gemara, it's a mission Taros, which is an mission in Kalim rather, which Gemara in Baba Kama brings in a Dav Beis. So all four categories. Ava Tumah could be Tame Adam, Begadim, Adam, Kalim, Ochel, Mashke. And in Rishon Latumah, let's say you have a second hand, so let's say a Sheretz touches me, I touch a Sheretz. So I'm a Rishon Latumah. I'm not Av, I'm a Rishon. A Rishon Latumah, I could only contaminate Ochel and Mashke, food and liquid, but I cannot be Tame Adam and Begadim. Now, the way to remember that, for me at least, is I know there's two breaks. Food and liquid become more, becomes dirtier than me. Meaning, if a food falls on the floor, I won't eat the food. And certainly if a drink falls on the floor, I won't eat it. But if I fall on the floor, I'm not going to take a shower, If my shirt falls on the floor, I'm not going to wash it. So food and liquid get more dirty, get dirtier in Ruchnius as well. So that's the levels. So even though I'm only Rishon LaTumah, it's still enough to be metame food and liquid. That's how it's understood.
Where's Vlad? That's what this spoke about.
Yeah, the Vlad, is, Vlad is also the same thing as a Rishon. Vlad is an outgrowth.
Vlad
Tumah is a Rishon LaTumah. Oh. It's an outgrowth of. So Av is the father. The source of Vlad is like a child, an offspring. So Av Tumah to a Vlad is the same thing as a Rishon. It's one step removed from the initial source.
Is it also Vlad? Is that a joke category for all the categories below?
Yeah, it's Vlad. I think they call Vlad. Every outgrowth would be called Vlad the Tuma. Would be Vlad, maybe Vlad the Vlad.
Tumah is also a Vlad Tumah.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Mishnah, the end of Maseches Chagiga, talk about different levels of, for Chuma versus Kachim, there's a Shlishi and there's a Revi. So for Chuma, only Shlishi is able to post-sell Chuma. But for Kachim, even Revi, four steps removed, would have the ability to pasel Kachim. These are general dinim when it comes up throughout Tumah V'Tahara. These are one of the topics where you can't learn in one shot. Over the course of time, you pick up your deals here and there, and slowly, hopefully in your mind, you're able to put a bigger picture together. Okay, so that really ends the discussion of chatzitza with regards to wearing clothing in the mikvah. So anyway, so this plaque for this lady back in that vacation country she was in, so the heter was that she should go during the daytime of day 8, not to see her husband until nightfall, and to wear a bathing suit. And it doesn't even have to be a loose bathing suit, because since water passes directly through the bathing suit, even if it was tight, better if it was looser, but even if it was tight, it would have been sufficient as well. Okay,
Unless it was one of these almost like wetsuit type things, no good, right?
Dry suit,
the water doesn't go through them? Oh, so then it would be like like leather. It would be the same thing. It would not work, correct? Okay, so now let's go through the next topic.
But what if it was a minority of the body? It was like a bikini wetsuit type thing. It was very tight, meshugana material.
That way, if it's only miut, it would be a problem of dirabanan still. Even though it wouldn't be, it should be miut and makbid. No one takes showers in such a way. So there'd be miut and makbid, it'd be dirabanan chatzitza.
A problem.
So, yeah. Okay, now let's discuss the other area of Hilchos Shabbos about putting water putting clothing in the water. It's a problem of libun. So if you look at Tosfos in the bottom, which I assume you all saw, Tosfos writes that meremes vitovelas bivigdeha, that she wears a clothing and goes to the mikveh wearing clothing. Tema, hainu shuria, that's soaking, it's clothing in water. Vishuria asura mishum shumechabes umalabin. When you soak cloth in water, that's the same thing as laundering something, and that's a violation. Damrinan shriyasa zuhi krusa. The Gemara in Zevachim says when you soak clothing in water, that's a violation of kibbutz, just soaking it alone. So Tosfos asks, how could you have a woman go with the clothing in the mikveh into the water? That's shriyasa, that's soaking clothing. To which Tosfos answers, v'yesh lomar, de'ohoil de'habi derech tinef shari. Since it's derech tinef, means it's a way of dirtying something. That's allowed. Kibbutz is only when you intend on cleaning it. But when you're dirtying it, that's, water doesn't make everything nice. If I'm, putting my gemara in water, that's ruining my gemara. So if it's something that's not necessarily ruining it, but it's derech tinef, we're cleaning something up, but that's not called laundering. So he gives an example. He says, tinef is dirt. So you're dirtying it. You're not, I don't want my clothing to be wet. I want my sefer to be wet. That's derech tinef. What it means to be kibbutz, if I have something that's dirty, I want to soak the clothing in water, that's cleaning the clothing. But if I'm trying to clean up a mess, if I have a spill on the floor, I'm cleaning up the mess, that's derech tinef. That's cleaning a mess up. That's focusing on removing the dirt. It's not focusing on cleaning the cloth. So derech tinef, if it's a way of dirtiness, then that's considered allowed. And he says, v'teida, teheach anu minagvin yadeinu b'mape b'shabbos. How else would we be allowed to wash our hands on Shabbos? Washing tisadayim, that I start using a hand towel to clean my hands. Aren't I now wetting my towel?
Why aren't you washing your towel?
So now that washing towel isn't that a violation of libun. So therefore he says that when it's derech tinef, when it's cleaning up a mess, cleaning up water, you don't focus on the cloth, you focus on it's cleaning something up, and that's not derech kibbutz. That's the answer of Tosfos. Now, just as a side point, it's fascinating. Tosfos throughout Shas, maybe what we're doing is wrong. I mean, just because we wash our hands with clothing, who said that's allowed, that towel? And, he says, because all the time, you always wash your hands with a towel on Shabbos. So it must be allowed. Maybe it's not allowed.
You're making it.
Yeah, but his initial premise was, we do it all the time, so it has to be permissible. So he explains why it's permissible. But first he should say, well, maybe it's not permissible.
Right.
So Tosfos throughout Shas says, Ma'isim b'chol yom, we do this. He says many times, whatever we're doing is certainly true. Minhag Yisrael is Torah. So Tosfos is always justifying what took place. If we're doing it, it must be allowed. Let's figure out the reason why it's allowed. One comes to mind is Gemara Bava Metzia talking about ribbis. You can't take ribbis. And even from a non-Jew, it shouldn't be done. You shouldn't take ribbis from a non-Jew. Even though Midiraisa you're allowed to, you shouldn't allow for even ribbis from a non-Jew. But Tosfos says, Ma'isim b'chol yom. In Europe, we're all money lenders. We're all lending on ribbis from the non-Jews. How's this allowed? So Tosfos explains, because if you need it for parnasa, you're allowed to do this. But he said, is Ma'isim b'chol yom? If we're doing it, it's permitted. Then he figures out backwards, well, what's the reason why it's allowed? That's Tosfos all over. He always tried to justify what we did, what's correct. So anyways, he explains, if it's derech tinuf, if it's allowed, it's allowed. If the clothing is getting wet only because it's cleaning up a mess, that's permitted. That's one shot of why this is not a problem.
We have to worry about the wringing out, though, no?
That's a question the Mordechai points out. The Mordechai points out, if a person gets something so wet, so waterlogged, there's a chashash of schita, you might come to wring it out. That's a problem. But he says, even though that is a problem in general, if it's makom mitzvah, it's allowed. So the example he brings is, let's say, the Gemara says, let's say I want to go be makbil pnei rabbo on Yom Kippur. I want to go visit my Rebbe on Yom Kippur. Now the problem is, to get there, I need to go through water. So now, it's Yom Kippur. I can't go through the water. Isn't that a problem of getting waterlogged and schita and wringing it out? So Tosfos answers, Mordechai answers, well, since it's b'makom mitzvah, it's allowed. So even though you're right, my clothing's getting waterlogged, walking through the river, to meet my Rebbe, even though it's a gzera, I might come to wring it out. If it's makom mitzvah, there is no gzera. So that's in terms of the schita. So then the Mordechai says, well, wait a second. Isn't that still a problem of getting my clothing wet? How could I walk through the river? Isn't that the same question here? How could you go into the mikveh with the clothing on? Isn't that shriyasa zu kibbutz? So Mordechai says, no. Need different answer. Pay attention to the difference between Tosfos and Mordechai. The Mordechai says, it's only a problem of kibbutz if the clothing is dirty. If there's a stain on the clothing, then putting it in water is a problem. Tosfos wasn't focusing on the dirt on the clothing. Tosfos is for focusing on cleaning up a mess with the clothing. So that my cloth could be completely clean. But if I'm cleaning up a mess here, so then that's derech tinef. While the Mordechai is focusing on if there's a stain on the clothing. So what's a nafka mina? Let's say I've got a spill on the floor. And I have a dirty cloth. There's a stain on my cloth. Can I clean up my spill with that cloth that's dirty? So according to Tosfos, I'm allowed to, because since it's derech tinef, since the mice I'm doing is cleaning up a mess, It's allowed. But according to Mordechai, since the cloth has a stain on it and getting it wet, it would be a problem to even clean up my mess. So let's just bring out Lumdus just for a moment.
But that's something that's the opposite. Can you dry your hands with a new clean towel on Shabbos?
Yeah, so how do you, what's the...
According to Mordechai, you can't.
No, why not? Because according to Mordechai, it's only a problem if there's a stain. Yeah. So this is a lot.
That's not a piece of clothing. It's a rag.
There's still the din
it's
of
a rag. There's no.
No, but kibbutz applies to any cloth.
Clean rags, you know, usually.
No, you know when you're done, when they go, wet and smelly.
It's not the derech that they.
No, I know. My house, all the they all get cleaned
in the
wash for sure.
The wash, yeah, like that, you know.
No, you always clean it.
Really wiping things with it.
No, we use it all the time. You have these hand towels that get dirty. There's a mess on the floor. We clean it up and just throw it in the laundry.
Right, but it's not the way to clean.
But that's not the way to clean. You don't take it into a puddle and clean it like that.
Right. I'm not sure.
That's not the
derech. So either way, what's the chakir that we always have to raise when it comes to melachos on Shabbos? There's one chakir that plugs into every single one of the Lamed Tes melachos. We discussed this Thursday night.
Melachos mach Shabbos. Intent.
Maaseh versus totzah.
Oh, yeah.
Action versus outcome. So just a couple examples. We discussed this Thursday night. So Zoreh. Zoreh is planting. So what happens if I put a seed in the ground? And then I remove that seed from the ground immediately. Have I violated Zoreh or not? Was that a violation of planting? So is machlokas between the Rashash and the Minchas Chinuch? I forget who says which way. One says it is because I did a Maisa Zoreh. I put a seed down. That's a Maisa. Others say no. The definition of Malach is a Totzah. There has to be an outcome. So I need to leave it there in the ground, and when it takes root, that totzah, the outcome, my desired outcome has been achieved. Then there's the melach. Or let's say Bishop of Shabbos. I put the dough in the oven, hot oven on Shabbos, and then I take it out. So there's a ma'isa putting in the oven, but I took it out. There's no totzah. So every melach can be broken down to a ma'isa, the action, and what's been accomplished, a ksiva. I wrote letters, but they made no sense. There's nothing of meaning. I wrote two alephs, let's say. So I did a ksiva of two osios, but I didn't write anything meaningful. There's no real outcome. So this is every single malacha. There's a ma'is and totzah, and for the most part, you find this chakir plugging into many, many nafkaminas. So I think this is true here as well when it comes to machlokas between the Mordechai and the Tosfos. There's the derech, the way in how you do kibbutz, that's the ma'isa. And then there's the outcome of cleaning a mess up. Kibbutz is to clean a dirt. So the Mordechai is focusing on, are you cleaning a stain or not cleaning a stain? Because the Mordechai is about accomplishing the totzah of cleaning something. But according to Tosfos here in Gemara and Beitza, it's about the derech, the mice in which you're doing it. So he says, it sounds like from Tosfos, if I'm cleaning up a mess, so even though the cloth is clean, it's allowed, because that's derech lichlich, that's a mice of dirtiness. It's not a mice of cleanliness. But let's say I were to take a clean cloth. This goes back to Eitan's point, I think. I take a clean cloth, no stain, and I soak it in water. I do a derech kibbutz. Now, I'm not really cleaning anything. It's already clean. But I'm doing a ma'is of kibbutz by putting something in water. So according to Tosa, I believe it would be usur. Because according to Tosa, we don't care what you're accomplishing. We care about you doing a ma'is of kibbutz. I'm doing the derech kibbutz. I'm taking a cloth. It's clean. I'm putting it in water. That's derech kibbutz and usur. But according to the Mordechai, I have not accomplished anything because there's no stain that I'm cleaning, in which case, according to the Mordechai, it would probably be permitted. In the end of the day, the Shulchan Aruch quotes all different opinions about what you should be doing before washing hands. Should you shake off your water first, he says, shake them off and then clean them. The Rava says the practice is not that way. A person's allowed to go ahead and take a towel and clean your hands because that's called derech. Lichlich.
Yeah, but her going into the mikveh with dirty clothes that are going to get clean, is that a problem?
No, it's not dirty clothes, it's tummy clothing.
No, now we're asking what if it's dirty?
No, that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
With the Gemara's ass saying that she's going with the begum that are tameim. Not that they're dirty per se.
Right,
Right.
But this raises the question of if she's got something on her clothes that's going to now get removed because she went in. This is
going to
cause an issue.
Right, so Tosfos explains here, when a person goes into the mikvah with clothing on, that's not called derech kibbutz. Derech kibbutz is when you take clothing, not like you're wearing, and you wash it.
Oh, it takes it
here,
away?
Here, you're doing a ma'isa, you're wearing it. No one wears clothing to wash him.
You get thrown into
the pool with your clothing on, that's derech lichlich. You don't want to be wet. That's like your clothing just got dirty, you're soaked.
No, that's called, you fell in the mud.
That's That's called derech lichluch, that's not called derech kibus. When you're wearing clothing, that's according to Tosfos, that's not the way people wash clothing. That's derech lichluch. And since it's derech lichluch, it's derech of, that's called dirtying the clothing, therefore that would be not a violation of kibus and allowed.
Let's say this woman did this thing, right? She went to the mikveh this way,
mm-hmm.
and then she sat down in the dirt, and her clothes.